If you look for just briefly at this prayer, it's the correspondence of love. I don't want to confuse you with it, but I'll just kind of jump a little through it quickly. I just want to show you the concepts. I found, of all the prayers that I found at Louisa, this one seems to capture all of the concepts of our activity in God's will, of how we pray and our place and position. So let me share this briefly with you. She starts, O eternal and inaccessible supreme will of my eternal love, prostrate before you, I disperse myself in your will. And you'll see this in all of Louisa's prayers. And I recommend to you that you get the prayer book and read those prayers. Don't memorize them and don't make them like a devotion, but read them so that you can learn the way she prays. And read the Passion book and you will see how she prays and how she unites herself in the activity of our Lord. And read the Rounds of Creation, that's another little thin volume, and you'll learn how she goes about placing herself in all the activity of the Lord in creation and redemption. Because it's the how-to that we need to learn. And the way she prays and does it teaches us very clearly how to do it. So in this manner of speaking, we see her, as in all of her prayers, she places herself in the divine will. So she goes up into heaven, okay? She's there at the feet of the throne of God. I disperse myself in your will. Okay, it submerges me, it raises me up into your most holy throne. While it annihilates me, it gives me life again, but new life, immutable and holy life, the life of the same will of my Jesus, in the center of which I find past, present, and future as in one point alone. Remember, in the mind of God, there's no such thing as time. Scripture tells us everything exists in a single instant. And so as we enter into the divine will and as we approach God, and when we get in there, into God, then everything is there. We find all of creation, all the acts of God, everything God is, all souls, past, present, and future, everything's right there in that eternal moment, which is God. Okay? So, now the next thing. I find the creating supreme will, which sends me love, oceans, immensities. So in this, she's speaking about the fiat of creation, God's creative will. And she's expressing the things that are available to us through that creating will. It awaits the exchange of love from every creature. Okay? Then she says, in the name of all the human family, from the first to the last creature, see, in the name of everyone, I take from within this inscrutable will the love of each of these. So here's what she just did. She went to the throne of God. There, all of mankind, past, present, and future, is there. There, the love of God in creation is there, the creating fiat of God, and the love that God had put in all of his creation, remember? So she says she finds all that there, and now she takes it. She picks it all up, so to speak. And she enters into his creating fiat. She says, and she's going to take that love and she's going to offer it back to him. She's going to reciprocate all of the love that she finds and everything that he did and everything he created and all the souls. And she's going to give him the exchange of that love which he was still waiting to receive from everyone. Into every twinkling of the stars, every drop of light in the sun, every breath of wind, every drop of water, every vegetable and plant. So you see, she's entering into all the things of creation. And as you do it yourself in the various ways, you'll find millions of ways to do that. Then she says, I enter into every heartbeat of each heart. So now she's entering into all the souls, all the creatures, see? Into every word and every work and every thought and every glance and filling all with love. See, she's putting her I love you in everything of creation, everything God created, in every soul, in every heart, in every mind. She wants to fill them with the love. But the love she's using was the love she picked up at the start at the throne of God. It was the creating love of God. So you see, in the divine will, everything that God has is ours. So taking the love of God, she's now gone into creation and into all souls, and she's filling them with his love and with her own love, okay? I bring myself before the Supreme Majesty. So now she's gone and done all that, and she's bringing all this back to the throne of God. And I give you the exchange of love for every created thing, see? So that's just so simple, and maybe it's a little hard to grasp at first, but it's just that in our proper place where we were intended to be was to give glory and honor to God and to be the vehicle. It almost sounds like we were supposed to be a little bit like the Holy Spirit, and that we were being the vehicle for the reciprocity of love between God and his creation. And so and one another. And so now she's doing that. She's taking the love of God, going back to creation, to all souls, putting his love there, picking up his I love yous and their I love yous and putting her I love yous and gathering it all up and taking it back and giving it to God. See how nice it is? It's just a beautiful way of praying, but at the same time she's making that exchange of love. So then she says, O amiable and most powerful will, unsearchable will, from which all comes and nothing flees, I come to bring the love of all before your holy feet. Okay, I come to harmonize together the eternal love with your created love. I return your love for everyone. My voice harmonizes over everything and in everyone with the eternal voice that shall have no end. It will multiply itself to the infinite, meaning that she is uniting her voice with his voice, which is infinite and eternal. And in every instant, it will say to you, I love you, I love you, I love you. See how nice that is? Then a little further down, she's going to go, I see my eternal love. Jesus looks at me and smiles, and in his same will wants me to enter into the second fiat of the incarnation. See, so far, the first part of the prayer, she went into the fiat of creation, all created things, the wind, the stars, the grass, the souls, and she made that exchange of love. Now, Jesus smiles at her and kind of says, okay, now let's do the same thing in our fiat of redemption. Okay? So, he waits for the correspondence of the acts of redemption. Upon the same way of the eternal will, I enter into the first instant of your conception, meaning she's entering now into the first instant of our Lord's conception in the womb of Mary, because this is the beginning of the fiat of redemption. Into his every heartbeat and every breath and every thought, every motion, every prayer, every pain in the maternal womb. Into your weeping, your tears, into each want of your infancy, into your every step, every word, every work of your passion, into every drop of your blood, every wound, every insult and scorn, into every thorn and blow and shove. I identify myself with these pains that you suffered on the cross. So she's uniting herself with his humanity, you see, in the passion. She's entering into all the love which is in all that activity of the Lord, uniting herself with it. In other words, placing her own pains in his pains and her own tears in her tears and her own heart in his heart and her own words in his words. And she wants to gather up all of the effects of the passion, all the merits of his blood and his suffering. She says, in your burning thirst, in the bitterness of the gall, in your reparations and satisfactions, unto your last breath. So she's gone into all that to find the love which Jesus had put there and which exists, which is the love of redemption. Then she says, together with all generations, in the name of all, in your internal will in which all are contained, I come to requite you in the divine way for all that you have done, to give you the exchange of love for love, reparation for reparation. So now she's giving him the exchange of love on behalf of all creatures for all of the love of the redemption. And her own reparation and sorrow for sin on behalf of everyone for all the reparation our Lord did. So you see how this, does it make sense to you what she's doing? It's just, it's the way she's praying. It's the way we're learning to kind of pray by going into God and finding there everything that is his and that is ours and giving him the reciprocity. It's almost like saying, yes, Jesus, you died for me. Now I want what you did for me. I want to accept it. And I accept it not only for me, but for everyone. And seeing the wonderful love that you gave us in that, I offer that love back to you, your own love, which you have given to me. See, there's the exchange of love. So she did it in creation. Now she did it in redemption. Now she does something else that's interesting. She says, let us unite together the creating fiat and the redeeming fiat. So in herself, she has already entered into the creation now, into the redemption. And she says, let's unite those together with my fiat. She's a little bit bold. But you see, that's what the divine will is all about. In my fiat, in my yes, Lord, to your will, I want to unite all of what you've done and all of what is. And let's make it all only one. Let one disappear in the other. And you'll have complete love, perpetual glory, divine adorations, eternal blessings and praises from all of creation, from the redemption, and from your desire that your will be done on earth. Then she goes to the Heavenly Queen. She never leaves Our Lady out. She says, Heavenly, Divine Mother and Queen, you had the primacy in the divine will. Extend your blue mantle in the immensity of the eternal will and wrap all creatures in it. She's asking Our Lady, remember like heaven prayed, to wrap the whole world, all creatures in her mantle, and seal their foreheads with the mark of the divine will, so all may live on the divine will upon the earth, be able to pass into your maternal womb to live in the divine will in heaven. So I wanted you to see that. You can take and reflect and meditate, but there you see the kind of the fullness of the way Louisa prays, entering into the fiats and entering into all that. And she does it a thousand ways, but this prayer was nice because it was short and sweet and simple, but it had all the parts. When you read the Passion book, you'll see how she enters so much deeply into all the acts of Jesus' Passion, and in each one gives him the exchange of love, you know, in the agony in the garden, and in his tears, and in his blood. And you'll see that in the rounds of creation. She does the same thing as he creates the stars and the sun, and taking the light of the sun and everything there is, and reflecting the love back to our Lord. And it's a beautiful way to pray, and I strongly urge you to begin to do it in the simplest ways. Don't try to complicate it and put it all together in one. Just start simple. You know, look at creation. Go up to the stars at night and look and just say, Lord, on every twinkling of every star tonight, I want to place my I love you and give you the exchange of the love that you put there for me. See how nice that is. And you just entered into the fiat of creation and gave him the exchange of the fiat. It's that simple. And as you do it more and as your heart grows more in love, you'll want to do it more and more. You know, why settle for the stars? I mean, the stars are nice, but they're not quite as many stars maybe as there are grains of sand in the earth. So I put my I love you on every grain of sand in the earth, but that's still not much. How about every photon of light from the sun? How about every drop of rain, past, present, and future, every drop in the ocean, you use your imagination, but in all of it, his love is already there. So you're picking it up and uniting your love with it and exchanging and giving it back to him. And then he gets the echo or the reciprocity of his love from creation, which he put in to start with and which he wanted creation to give back to him. He didn't just want mankind to give our love back to him. He wanted creation to give the love back too. But we, having a voice and having intelligence, were the ones who were supposed to do it, because creation didn't have the mouth to speak and the intelligence to put it into formula. It says love back to God in the fact that it exists and is in harmony with his will, but we were supposed to give the voice to it and reflect that love, gather it up and offer it back. And in that, we were giving glory to creation and letting creation glorify God in the way that God wanted from creation. That's why our faith tells us that when Adam and Eve fell, that all creation fell with it. All creation meaning of our world. All that which was beneath us, it all fell too, because it no longer had the persons to be the exchange of love between God and his creation. There was no more dispensers of grace for his creation. All of that was gone. So that's why St. Paul tells us creation is agonizing and waiting for us to return. It's also why Jesus told Louisa that the reason creation rebels against us, and that we have earthquakes and storms and things in nature that causes death, is because creation is still in harmony with God, but we're not. And until we return to our proper place, the creation will always be opposed to us as we are opposed to God.